IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. My apologies to those of you watching online. You may have been bumped off, played 8 seconds of AC/DC, and the powers that be at our friends at Google and Meta bumped some of you off. So my apologies for that. Hopefully you're all back and up and running. And you'll be listening and watching very shortly the Community Garda information. We've got appeals in relation to burglary in Rafal, criminal damage in Letterkenny and Buncrana, car theft or theft from a car in Carndonagh. There's an appeal as it relates to RTC in Lifford and warnings about scam text message alerts. Okay. Hi, Greg. When you get an engineer's report recommending a demolition, could the housing agency override that decision and say it only needs outer leaf? Again, that's a problem, isn't it? The person who's thinking of buying that house. Now, yesterday we had a listener who was purchasing a house or was interested in a house, and it's covered in cracks, apparently, which I think's a red flag, of course. But they had it tested and the three bores were taken from the same area. This caller says the person who's thinking of buying that house, which was cored and shows no mica, should ask to see the engineer's report to verify this result. I suspect cores were taken, never tested, and the seller is using the core marks to prove coring and then making up their own results, which has to be criminal, doesn't it? In the 70s and 80s, enough stock was kept in shops to keep going for 30 days. Now there are enough supplies for a week. Our shops keep enough supplies for 5 days. Stock rooms back in the day were larger. Give our farmers a fair wage and give our African farmers a fair wage too. And actually, really, of course, there are shops that will have stock for that, but the way our shops, for the most part, are run are, what there's a phrase for it, I can't remember, it escapes me at the moment, it's one day effectively or next day. So in other words, and we saw with the snow, very quickly, when the lorries can't move around the place, and this shows how important the lorry drivers are as well, you know, bread's gone, milk's gone, other fresh produce not available. So some of it's next day, some of it's 5 days. Scam calls. In relation to the missed calls and it being a clone number, I checked with the network provider and there's very little you can do about it. It will eventually stop, but it's very annoying. I had to put up with it for months, but it did eventually stop over Christmas. It was really bad. But I was reassured there's nothing to worry about in case the caller is concerned she could lose money over it. Yeah, indeed, it's the inconvenience of it. Just before 10, by the way, in case you missed it, a caller's getting lots of missed calls to the number, and I suspect, and I think this caller's backing me up on it, that their number was a cloned number. So what that effectively means, just to be absolutely clear, if someone is operating a scam from France, for an example, nowadays, if they ring Ireland and it's like a +15 whatever it is, okay, you know, a lot of people won't answer that call. They won't get duped by it. But what these scammers can do now, they have a piece of technology that they can effectively have any number appear on your phone. So if they wanted to pretend to be calling from Highland Radio and they wanted to get that deep into it, they could make your phone think that it's Highland that's ringing you. And they've done that with the HSE and the Gardaí as well in the past. But normally what they do is they just pick random mobile numbers, 087, 085, 083. But there's often a real person connected to that clone number and it's they that get the callbacks. Okay, does that make sense? It's complicated, but they have us every which way. And I genuinely can't understand how the mobile operators can't do more to protect us. We were talking yesterday about the upcoming referenda. How many children are now in two durable families? Many lone parents have a father or mother who also cares or would love to care for their child or children. And the durable relationships, durable families is an issue because there are ramifications, inheritance, claim on property, all that type of stuff. The government argues that, and in fairness, I think the government didn't do a fantastic job in making their arguments yesterday or last evening on RTE. I don't watch RTE per se, but I did read an awful lot of reaction and saw a couple of clips. And it didn't do an awful lot, I think, to strengthen the argument for a yes, yes. Good morning. I totally agreed with Mary T. Enough of this wokeness. There was a court case in 2020 about a man who tried to bring his third wife to Ireland but could not, as marriage here is between a man and a woman, not two or three wives. Greg, the government are already changing what people voted for in the abortion referendum. So if a yes vote wins this referendum, God knows what way government will change it in the future. Another, inclusive means adding to, not removing mother. Another, this referendum has come out of nowhere. Well, it's been running for quite some time. I get where you're coming from, but it came up for discussion. The women in the home thing, I know that's not what's contained within the Constitution, but that's how that clause is perceived, as talking about women in the home, though obviously there's no actual reference to women in the home, but that's become the common interpretation of it. That's been rumbling on for years, and it goes back to when women had to give up work when they got married, and a lot of women now, you know, don't have proper pensions or no pension at all because of... And it was all intertwined with that, okay? So I don't think it came out in anywhere, but I fully respect your view, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. The referendum has come out of nowhere. There was no mass protests or riots eager to get this changed. The only ones who want to change it are doing so because they want to make it gender neutral. The Women's Council of Ireland is not even standing up for women, but anyone who identifies as a woman, who are funded majority government, are taking the government's side rather than standing for them. Where are the feminists? Why is women being removed or diluted? Well, the feminists are saying, or some of them are, and there's different views and all different, that this portrays women in a particular light as the person that has to do the majority of the caring, or that's the expectation of them, or they should be at home doing so. But you'll get some feminists that will be upset with the removal of one reference or two reference to women in the Constitution, but others that will want them removed because they don't feel that responsibility should be labelled so on them. And herein lies the debate and complexities. Who said this language is outdated? Why not add it rather than removing mother, says a listener. Will the word mother no longer appear in the Constitution? No, mother appears in the Constitution. This is just one reference. Apart from anything in the changes to the referendum, shall strive to support such provision should frighten a lot of people to start with. Striving is only trying, not doing. Well, listen, we have in the Constitution that all children should be treated equally. We had in the Constitution for a long time that people with disabilities should be treated equally, and for a long time they weren't. That wasn't enacted. So, you know, the Constitution might state one thing, but it's always going to be the case that how that is applied is going to be the responsibility of the courts, in some cases, or the government in power at that particular time. The Constitution will be around long after we've gone on to our eternal reward. When you hear every single government party by one calling for this, it should set off alarm bells and red flags everywhere, says the listener. And that's it too. That's people with a distrust of the established parties are going to say that, all right. Just vote no. Government don't have the interest of the Irish people. They do nothing but tell lies and can't be trusted. Another, I'll be voting yes, no in these votes. It's ironic that an International Women's Day, we're voting to remove women from our constitution. It's a reference to women. I take your point, though. Another, this article may be described as woman in the home, which absolutely is not, but without it, there would be no lone parent. Will it not affect future cases in business tax, inheritance, pension laws, succession laws, immigration laws? Can you get a solicitor on, Greg, to analyse the difference between the current wording in the constitution and what these changes will actually mean? Well, you see, the thing is, you know, and I like Michael McDool now is the darling of the no-no, but you could get five solicitors in here, you could get five judges in here, and you could get five politicians in here, and you would not probably get a consensus, because you can approach this whichever way you wish. It's very much open to interpretation. Michael McDool is probably saying what he could argue in a court of law, and he's confident that he could win that argument. But you'll get another solicitor, and this is the problem in trying to strike a balance here. You really need two solicitors, because you could get another solicitor that might have a different take on the proposed wording and the potential consequences. But this caller says they want to know, does it change the right to family life from undue interference that is enshrined in our constitution and puts the onus on government to support families? Will this change, and what else will it change? And we will do that for you, by the way. My question, re the referenda, is what disadvantage does the existing wording cause? Who does it impact, and how I think it's important that this is fully understood before any decisions? Well, there is the argument, and I can't... The argument is that it doesn't really sort of necessarily recognise other types of families. That's the argument was made yesterday. A caller says, although this article is to be inserted in the Fundamental Rights Charter, the referendum gives absolutely no legal right to anyone. So basically it's being pushed on helping carers, but it will not benefit them in the slightest. But the government argue that it will compel a government of the time to better treat carers. Others say, no, it won't. Hi, Greg. How can we, the citizen, decide when the legal field are still arguing over it? The only thing it's making me do is not vote because I simply can't decide. And you will probably be with half of the population. What will the turnout be for that? Would it be even 43%, 44%, 40%? I think the majority here are confused and indifferent. And that's the truth. Okay, we're going to take a break and then we'll have Community Garda information for you. Just to let you know, if you don't know, this is Love Your Pet Day, International Love Your Pet Day. So if you've got a pet close to you and you want to show it off, why don't you WhatsApp us a picture of your pet? It could be a parrot. It could be a gerbil. Hey, if it's a parrot, get it speaking. It could be a gerbil. It could be a parrot. It could be a dog. It could be a cat. It's most likely going to be a dog or a cat, isn't it? But anyway, whatever your pet is, if you love it, why don't you send us a picture on WhatsApp, 086 60 25,000, and we'll post some of them up on our Facebook page and we'll share some of them live here to throughout the course of the programme as we stream. International Love Your Pet Day. Show us how much you love your pet. WhatsApp an image to 086 60 25,000.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, it is 23 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 20th of February, 2024, and it's time for Community Garda information. And really pleased to welcome back into studio Garda Sean Swinney, based in the Buncrana Garda Station. Good morning to you, Sean. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back in. Okay, let's get straight into it. And we'll start with an appeal in relation to a burglary in Rafal, Sean.
Yeah, this occurred at Guest House in Rafal between 10 p.m. on Saturday the 17th of February and 1:15 a.m. on Sunday the 18th of February. Number of windows at the front of the house and the glass in the front door smashed and entry was gained. Number of belongings were smashed within the property. 43-inch LG TV was stolen. So we appeal to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area to contact us, or anybody travelling the area who may have dashcam footage between those times. We ask them to make it available in contact Letterkenny on 9167100 or the confidential line on 1800 666 111.
Now, Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating a case of criminal damage.
Yes, yeah, occurred at Ash Lawn, Letterkenny, in the early hours of Sunday the 18th of February at approximately 4:40 a.m. A man had taken a taxi to that area. He then became aggressive with the driver and broke the windscreen of the car before leaving the area on foot. We appeal to anybody who travelled in the area of Ash Lawn around that time who may have dashcam footage to make it available. Or if anybody observed this man, please make contact with Letterkenny Gardaí again, 9167100.
And criminal damage too being investigated in Buncrana.
Yes, occurred at the Meadows in Buncrana on Monday the 19th of February between approximately 9:45 p.m. and 10:05 p.m. Shed of the property was set alight between those times. The fire was extinguished by the fire service and thankfully nobody was hurt. We appeal to anybody who observed any type of activity in the area between those times, or if you travel in that general area and may have dashcam footage, to make it available to Gardaí and Buncrana on 9320540.
Okay, now we're going to talk about, is it theft of a, is theft from a car in Carndonagh?
Yeah, this occurred in Glentahor in Carndonagh. This is in relation to the theft of both registration plates from the car. The car in question was parked in the yard and had been off the road for some time. The plates, which have a partial registration of 08DL126, were stolen sometime between February the 12th and 14th. So if anybody's observed any suspicious activity in Glentahor area between February 12th and 14th, we asked them to contact Gardaí and Buncrana on 20540.
Now, we did see this happen previously as well, number plates being stolen. And the concern is that sometimes maybe people might have think they've fallen off or don't realise it or just see it as a bit of play acting. But if you notice, you know, one or both of your number plates, your registration plates stolen, what should you do?
Yeah, if you notice this has happened, we advise you please alert Gardaí immediately. These plates could be used in a legal manner later on. So we urge the public to always report this type of suspicious activity to Gardaí immediately.
Yeah, okay. Right, road traffic collision in Lifford, some information being sought.
Yeah, it's a single vehicle road traffic collision at Edenmore in Lifford. It's occurred on Thursday the 15th of February at approximately 9:20 p.m. One man was injured and he's brought to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment. His injuries aren't believed to be life-threatening. He was travelling between Port Hall and Lifford when the collision occurred, so appeal to anybody who was travelling that route who may have observed the collision, make contact with Gardaí Letterkenny on 9167100.
Rightio, we have to talk about scam texts again because they're constantly moving the goalposts and we have to move with them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we do talk a lot about scams, but we've issued a warning recently on Facebook in relation to Garda Fáin related scam text messages. It's doing the rounds now and we want to advise you of this. So basically, we don't want anybody to panic if you receive one of these. The text message received is in relation to supposed Garda Fáin. It contains a link to follow in order to pay the said fine. So fixed charge penalty notice, these are issued from Thurles and County Tipperary from our fixed processing office. We will never, ever contact a person via text message in relation to any type of fine. So should you receive this type of text, don't panic, don't click on the link and simply delete the message. If you have fallen victim to scam, please let us know.
Yeah, and listen, as you say, the basic rule of thumb here is Gardaí won't text you in this fashion about this issue. The URL too, they're getting a wee bit more clever. It varies, but I think this one is garda-fines.com. Mm-hmm. So people might look at that. And people who, you see, we have to be conscious of the fact that if you're not on social media and you don't listen to the radio all of the time, you might not actually know about this scam. So I think it's really important, isn't it, that, you know, we talk to each other about
that. Exactly, yeah.
And just say, by the way, Dad, by the way, Mum, if you get a message from the guards claiming you've been fined, ignore that or contact me or whatever it might be. I think that's really, really important to do so. Right, okay. Upcoming property marking event.
Yeah, this is occurring on Saturday the 24th of February between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. in the public car park at Buchrana Garda Station. This is a good opportunity to permanently mark your trailers, tools, etc. with your air code. So the machine can be used on a number of surfaces, including metal, carbon fibre, wood and plastic. And it uses a pattern of dots to mark the property, making it highly distinguishable and easy to return in case of a theft. Look, it renders it somewhat unattractive to thieves. So please ensure you have your correct air code with you and no appointment is necessary.
Okay. Garda Schools Quiz 2024.
Yeah, it's taking place across the division again this year. It's in conjunction with Donegal Motor Club and Donegal County Council Road Safety Officer. There'll be four heats, one held in each of the four Garda districts simultaneously on Thursday, the 22nd of February, 7:30 p.m. at the following venues. In the Milford district, it'll be Kilmacrenan National School. In Letterkenny district, it'll be Educate Together National School in Letterkenny. Ballyshannon district, it'll be the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. And in Buncrana district, it'll be the Aris Hall, Carndonagh Community School. Prizes are sponsored by the Donegal Motor Club and Donegal County Council and they'll be presented to the winners on the heats on the night. The top four schools will then qualify for the county final. This will be held in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny on the 5th of March at 7:30 p.m. We wish all the children who are taking part the very best of luck.
Great, because they'll be having fun, bit of competition, hopefully win some prizes, but also learning about road safety, which exactly. I think is which is great. Rightio, and a quick mention, if you don't mind, of the Donegal Garda Youth Awards 2024, because nominations are open.
Yeah, this is to celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from throughout the county. The nomination process is now open, and Garda Síochána and Donegal and the GPC are now inviting the public to nominate young person they know who's committed to making a difference to the community during 2023. All nominees will receive recognition and the event will be held in the future date. There are four separate awards categories for the young people. There's an individual award, a group award, a special achievement award and community safety award. Nomination forms can be obtained from the following Garda stations, Letterkenny, Milford, Buncrana or Ballyshannon. A copy of the form can also be requested by emailing donegalgardayouthawards@garda.ie. It can be downloaded from the Donegal County Council website, the Garda Síochána Facebook page or the Garda.ie webpage.
Okie doke, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed for that, Sean. Really appreciate you calling in. Thanks for all the information.
No problem, Greg.
All right, okay. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 20th of February. It's going to be replayed for you back on our Facebook and on Garda Síochána's Facebook page a little later on today. And you can catch it live again after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. But one last time, Sean Sweeney, Buncrana Garda Station, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
really
Greg.
Appreciate it. Okay. Right. We've been inviting you to send in, your pictures in of your beautiful pets because it is. Do you have any pets, Sean?
We have one dog, yeah.
What kind of a dog is it?
It is Jack Russell.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. Pain in the.
Well, they can be, but the kids love them.
Okay, so we've been inviting you to send in your pictures of your beautiful different animals. I've got a picture. We'll have a look at this one. It's a picture of a chicken, is it? Is that a chicken, a hen, a cock, a turkey? I don't know. But anyway, it is one of our listeners, a bird called... Oh, it's a pheasant. Pecky. All right, there's a pet pheasant. Okay, we're going to be posting some of these pictures up on our social media, and we'll be also playing them out live for those of you watching the show. It's International Love Your Pet Day, and we've already had a huge response to your calls, or our calls, for your pictures. Okay, now, contact from a listener, which reads as follows. Hi, Greg. Hoping for some advice, help with something. Out of my comfort zone here, but thought it worth a shot asking you something. So my daughter's coming 18. Since she was a tiny girl, she's been crazy about the singer Pink. She's also always said if there was ever a concert she wanted to go to, it was Pink. So lo and behold, word came through Pink was coming to Dublin. Not only that, but it was announced for the date of my daughter Kira's actual 18th birthday. The stars were aligned and fate definitely at play here. Despite me and some friends donating the concert release date to get tickets from Ticketmaster, it was unsuccessful, much to our disappointment. All I've been able to do since is to try one Facebook group and put up a post looking for tickets. However, the posts I'm getting back seem to be absolute scammers. So do you have any idea where I could try for legitimate tickets for sale? This would mean so much to a not-so-little girl anymore who's already dreamed of seeing Pink. Thanks for your time. And my daughter would not want this made public. Okay, so we're not going to say who the mum is or who the daughter is, but that's the info there. Have you any advice as to how this mum can secure a couple of tickets for her daughter to see Pink? It is sold out. Pink is huge. And I understand exactly where she's coming from, because you say, or you put it out there, that you're looking for tickets on social media, and it does seem to attract scammers. So as I say, I can see exactly where their concern lies there. But if you can help or have any advice, you know the numbers. 086 60 25 000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25 000. Or give us a call on 074 91 25 000. Why is the fraud squad not brought in to investigate public money at RTE? Asks a caller. Another, RTE is like other groups. If it's affecting their colleagues, they'll circle the wagons until the public get fed up and they'll carry on as before. Don't wait on an outcome from either of these organisations, believes the listener. And again, public apathy to the whole situation is there. So I get where you're coming from. Good morning. It's a certain kind of woman or girls that go to these male stripper shows. I don't have to spell it out. Any wonder we are ravaged with unwanted pregnancies? Abortion, diseases, cop themselves on, have a bit of self-respect and give the attention instead to your probably long-suffering husband or partner. This is off the back of images and videos that have circulated from a stripper show, XXL, male strippers in Belfast. But just because a woman wants to go and see the show doesn't mean that they are what you suggest they are. The position of the RTE Director General is becoming more and more untenable by the day. Nothing has really changed within RTE since he took over. Everyone has their snouts in the public trough. Hi, Greg. If Ireland keeps going the way it's going, there'll be no young people left in Ireland and no tourists coming in, bar in Dublin, charging over €10 a pint. It's unreal, only in Ireland. Well, I wouldn't go near Dublin to pay for €10 for a pint. You know, we were talking about overpaying for concert tickets. I'll let you know, Caroline, just to say, if you're standing at the window, as soon as our next guest joins us. Dear Greg, we have a government in Ireland that has a Taoiseach that took five counts to get him elected, and the Greens, who have a very small amount of TDs, making policy for this country. But that is proportional representation. That is our electoral system. Would, you know, a dictatorship be better? Hardly. Well, someone's going to say it is a dictatorship, but I don't agree. As it relates to the strippers, that nightclub should be closed. What's happening there was shocking. Did you see the videos? Greg, what happened in that nightclub is nothing more than what happens in clubs every night of the week, says the listener. Okay, a lot of people not happy with it. Wouldn't want to see it in Donegal, but anyway. Let me see. Hi, Greg. We are an older couple who have been told to have we have defective concrete in our house, formerly known as mica. Our family are away with one having cancer, which is an awful burden on us. About the mica, we have to fill up a form on the computer. We cannot do it and have no one here to do it for us. What are we supposed to do? We're told that it's so hard to do and that the council keep looking for information to make it extremely difficult for the ones claiming. Surely, as it's not our fault, it should be made as simple as possible for older people like us. Maybe it would be easier for them if we committed suicide. Thanks. Very strong language there, and I was in two minds as to whether to read it out or not. But then I thought, well, this is what these people think. They think that they're not important or that they don't matter. Of course you do. I'm sure there's bound to be someone out there who would help this couple to fill out their forms. They're dealing with an awful lot in the family already, of course, with a son or daughter suffering with cancer, or fighting cancer. But they're finding filling out the forms so difficult to the point where they're not doing it, and they don't feel wanted or understood. If anyone out there wants to help them, and if they're willing to allow someone to help them, will you get in touch with us and we can maybe make those connections? 086 60 25,000. I don't want for a second anyone listening to this show to feel like that and not feel like they've got help. So maybe there's something we can do together. I want to mention that War, Peace and the Derry Journal, it is a book, and you're invited to Carn Donagh Library this coming Saturday, the 24th. At 10:30 a.m. for a conversation with a good friend of this show, of course, Pat McCart, and his fascinating recollections from a quarter of a century as editor of the hottest newspaper in Ireland. The event's free of charge. Everyone is welcome to attend, and refreshments will be served. You can contact the Carn Donagh Library on 93737 01 for further information, or contact us and we'll pass on that number to you. Hi, Greg. Brazil's president just recalled home for consultation or consulting his ambassador to Israel. It's a very serious diplomatic statement by Brazil against the ongoing Israeli genocide with over 29,000 dead, mostly women and children. Why has Ireland not recalled its ambassador to Israel for consultation? That comes in from Raymond. Well, since then, Raymond, the US seems to have found something of a conscience in this whole debacle, and is seeking I don't want to use the incorrect terminology, but they're calling for a ceasefire, and they haven't used that word before. They're calling for a humanitarian ceasefire. Greg, could you get someone on to talk about the importance of topping up your UK pension contributions as soon as possible, as they'll change on April 25th, and many Donegal people who work there may lose out on a lot of money they could be due in future. This is an excellent blog on the subject. It's not a scam, and I'm following it up. It takes a few forms and phone calls, getting some old information, but a very worthwhile investment of time. Now, we've done this a number of times, two or three times, in fact. We've covered that. If you paid a pension in Britain, you can pay a small amount and it tops up the pension really quite significantly. If that deadline is looming, as that listener suggests, and I've no reason to doubt them, then maybe we should do that again and give them some give the public some opportunity to top up their pension, the UK pension. On the referenda, government minister misleading the public with outright misinformation about the status of unmarried parents under our constitution. The ongoing series of misinformation by government and their NGO agents, which this anti-NGO thing, it's out there, and NGOs are all of a sudden seen as a bad thing. But anyway, that's your view. They believe it's not accidental, but part of an ongoing strategy to mislead the public in an attempt to enforce their very damaging political agenda. People are no longer fooled. But if you have that view of non-government organisations and you have that view of government, I would suggest that anything they suggest you would probably vote against, because there's such a level of distrust there. Article 41.2 Irish Constitution recognises the value of the mother in the home, and this can be taken to mean the father or the carers, where it states that the mother carer shall not, out of necessity, be forced due to economic necessity. This means the mother carer should not be forced out to work in order to put food on the table. This means that should the mother choose to remain home, she has that choice. If a yes vote is passed, then the protection that we parents have currently will be removed, and with the exception of maternity leave, mothers carers will be forced to out to work as soon as maternity leave is over. They will not have the choice to stay home to care for their children, who will be farmed out to state-run childminding facilities. How does that happen, though? How would people be forced out to work and children farmed out to childminding facilities? Single-parent families, in particular, will be hit the hardest. The protection of the current article will be removed. Okay, that's a person's interpretation, and that is fine. We're getting a mixture of views in here. If you're out there advocating for a yes, by the way, and because I want to make sure as much as possible to get views from no, yes, yes, no, yes, yes. I encourage you to text in regardless of what your views are. Of course, we're getting a lot of no-nos, and maybe the yes-yeses or the yes-nos or the no-yeses feel that they don't need to text in shows like this, because we do have seemingly every political party bar Aintu and the Irish Freedom Party advocating for yes-yes. But I need your voice as well to balance out the text messages. So if you are in favour of a yes-yes, I encourage you to text in as well, please, so that I can give a platform to all sides of this debate for absolute fairness. And regardless of what side you fall on, I'm sure you want everyone to have an equal voice and an equal say. So I encourage yes-yeses, yes-nos, no-yeses and no-nos all to text in. It's not confusing at all, is it? Right, via email. Hi, Greg. Could someone explain what is the proper lane to be in approaching the Polestar roundabout from the Dry Arch and turning off towards the Mount Argyll Hotel? Because as it is at present, it's very confusing and dangerous. Thank you, Danny. Well, Danny, I know this because this is the road that I come in on. If you are coming in, you're in the right-hand lane. You're in the far right-hand lane, okay? And then as you cross onto the roundabout, you'll see a couple... you'll see a lane which is marked with dashed lines. So as you reach the roundabout, then you sort of slightly verge off left so that you find yourself, by the time you reach the traffic coming in from the IT, you'll find yourself in the left lane there. And that means that if the lights go red, you're sat and you're not blocking up traffic and what have you. So that's the laneage there. Right-hand lane, merging as you go around the roundabout towards the left. Right, okay. Grania Griffin, Director of Communications with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Grania.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, these figures are startling. The cost to consumers in Ireland to deal with faulty goods and services last year was close to $1 billion. How do we calculate that figure? That's a massive amount of money.
It is a huge amount of money. And I think the thing is, when you go out to consumers and you say, look, I need you to think about the last year and tell me, did everything go to plan, you know, when you bought goods and services, or can you think of times where it didn't? And in like nearly two out of five, like 39% say, well, actually, no, there were times when things didn't go to plan and things went wrong. And then we ask them to think about, well, take the most serious example that you have and talk to us about that in detail, you know, and what did that cost you? Like, how much did the good cost? You know, how much money did you lose? And maybe was there also like further costs involved? So say, for example, if somebody told us about a time that they had a broken washing machine and the washing machine leaked, but it actually cost them even more than the value of the washing machine because their floorboards had to be replaced. So the examples that we got from people and the costs that we got from people, they did really vary from very, very small ones up to very, very significant ones. But overall, yeah, it's a really big amount of money for Irish consumers. And it does show that it's really important that
how much of that would have been recouped, if you know what I mean, in the calculations, because there's a monetary value being put on time and stress and stuff as well, I presume. So how much of that would have been recouped, I wonder, through redress in terms of engaging with a shop or a car dealer or whatever it might be?
So actually, this is what wasn't recouped, because that's a really good point. Like, some cases people followed things up and they, you know, in a lot of cases they got results, you know, they got money back or they got parts of their money back or they got replacements. This is what was actually lost. Wow. After we factored that in. And it doesn't take into account any kind of calculation to include the additional types of harm that consumers suffered. So like you say, the stress that people went through, the lost time that people go through, because these are really big factors as well. Like, consumers report that this is really stressful. And in some cases, and with some issues, it's like, it's really stressful. They say it has very high level of stress. And it often takes a long time to sort it out, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but a lot
in
of that's
like a
down
third
to,
of cases
a lot of
where they followed up.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. A third of cases what, sorry?
So in it, like, we ask people, did you follow it up? And like most people do. So like you'll have about a third of people who just say, no, I left it, you know, I didn't bother or whatever. But you will have, most people do say, oh, yeah, no, I did follow up. And when you look at that group who followed up, like a third of them say, look, it was sorted within a week. You know, and that is good to hear. It is good to hear that when people take action, that in a lot of cases, you know, it is sorted out. But you still have like quite a significant number, 1 in 10 still experiencing an issue 6 months later. Now, 6 months is a long time, and it is a lot of time spent probably on trying to resolve that issue.
A lot of it, though, too, is about people needing to familiarise themselves with their rights, because you can often go into the shop and they will dispute it. You know, they will find ways, they have ways, they train their staff to dispute things. And a lot of people will turn on the heel and go, oh, bloody hell, the system doesn't work. But there are an awful lot of protections out there that maybe the companies don't tell you about, that you can stand your ground on. And as soon as you sort of exercise that knowledge, you might find things getting resolved really quite quickly.
Completely. I mean, Irish consumers have strong consumer rights and they've been strengthened in recent years. And, you know, we hear this from people who talk to our helpline. They say that, like, when they actually know what their rights are, it just gives them that extra confidence. They feel more empowered when they go in and they talk to the trader. And we have asked people, you know, did you get a better result or did you feel that made a difference to you? And they said, absolutely, it did. I mean, ultimately, the responsibility here is 100% on traders. If you are selling goods to people, if you're taking people's money, you're selling them goods and services, those goods and services should work. They should be as described. And that is, of course, the bottom line. That said, of course, things go wrong. But when things go wrong, consumers are a better place to get a good resolution if they know what their rights are. And our website, ccpc.ie, or our helpline, can be really good starting points for consumers who just want that bit more confidence. They want to have a sense of what they're entitled to when they go and talk to a trader. I mean, for example, if you buy something, if you buy like a good or a service or something in Ireland and something goes wrong, for the first 30 days, there is a really quick right to a refund if it's just wrong. Like, you know, there's a really
Yeah, but what you will be told is if you go into a shop, they'll say, well, you'll have to take the manufacturer. You know, that's what happens in all.
I know,
lot
and that is one of those myths you hear all the time.
So, what is the actual fact in relation to that simple one?
When you buy something from a shop, from a retailer, your contract is with them and it is entirely their responsibility to deal with the product if something goes wrong. Now, in some cases, people do also get additional warranties and things like that that can be with the manufacturer. And for those cases, you know, for the warranty rights, they'll go, but for your basic, your core rights, your statutory rights, you've bought it from the shop has to sort it out, and it is not okay for them to just go.
What if you don't have the box, which is another one you'll hear, sorry, you don't have the box. Well, I put the TV on the wall, I put the box in the bin, and the TV went haywire. So, or you'll also hear you don't have a physical receipt, the physical receipt. Do they still have to entertain you within that time period without the packaging and without a physical receipt if you can prove purchase?
But you see, ultimately, in these kind of cases, you're talking about faulty goods. So, like, in terms of change of mind, if you know you have a certain date, amount
now,
of time
faulty,
to change
we'll
your mind and bring
faulty,
it back. In those cases,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so in faulty, yeah, no, that isn't a reason to say, no, I'm not going to engage with you. Because ultimately, it's not even, like, there's a whole suite of options available to traders in terms of repair, in terms of replacement. There's potentially partial refunds. And the onus is on the trader to find a way to put it right. And they have to do that within a reasonable time. They're not allowed to delay. And they're not allowed to, for example, keep trying at something that doesn't work. So if you've had it repaired a couple of times and, it, you know, they're saying we'll repair it again, like, that's not okay. There are very strong obligations in businesses in terms of how they treat consumers when things go wrong.
But if they are messing you about, how do you elevate it?
Well, so the first thing is you do your formal complaint, and that's where actually that point about the receipt and things like that can come in. They are entitled to say, well, look, did you buy it from here? You know, but it's not as clear cut as saying it has to be a receipt. Like, we've seen scenarios where people have said, well, actually, I bought, you know, this large sofa or whatever it might be from your shop, and here it is on my bank statement, you know, and you can see that I paid with a card. And, you know, if that's sufficient to convince a judge, then that's sufficient. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the receipt. But you can escalate it to the small claims court. We'd always say to people, even if you're dealing with it yourself, and even if you're progressing it to the small claims court, which is entirely the right route to do, it is worth also making a report to the CCPC into ourselves, because that kind of information around where consumers are experiencing problems is really helpful for feeding into our enforcement teams. Now, look, we're the National Consumer Authority. We're not an ombudsman. So we step in and take enforcement action in, like, the very serious cases. but also in the cases where a lot of people are experiencing small problems, you know, because if you have a very big business, but it has a lot of customers, but things go wrong very regularly for them, even though the individual purchase prices can be small, that all adds up for a lot of people to like a really big problem that potentially we as the kind of watchdog, as the consumer authority, need to step in and take action about. So I would always encourage people to also report to us in the CCPC.
Okay, Grainne Griffin, thank you very much indeed. That's Grainne Griffin, Director of Communications with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission.